Okay, good evening, everybody. Lech Hanukkah Sameach to all. Baruch Hashem, the second night of Hanukkah. We are learning L'Ilui Nishmas and the Zeichu Nishmas Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashem. Hashem should have an aliyah. She should be an advocate, a tova for us on this holy, holy, holy day of Hanukkah. Very beautiful Yom Tov. So I want to actually begin. Did someone say something? I want to actually begin in something that I touched upon last week, and I just want to sort of a different perspective, and hopefully it won't take the whole shiur. I don't want it to take the whole shiur. But last week we spoke about the declaration of Jerusalem as the capital city, and we added, or I added, a certain perspective, which is that the kavod of Yerushalayim does not come from any mortal human being. The kavod of Yerushalayim, the honor and the glory of Yerushalayim, Yerakosh, comes from the Ribon Shalom, comes from God, and comes from the sanctity inherent in Yerushalayim, Er HaKodesh. And that's the source of the sanctity from the time that Avraham Avinu walked to do that. Kedesh Yitzchak, Behar Hashem, and that's the source of the sanctity of Yerushalayim. So actually someone from Jerusalem emailed me, who I know listens to my shirms. I have contact with him in the past. So he said, why do you take that attitude? Why can't you say, just because Trump tells us something we already know, look at it as a positive thing. He did bring out an interesting point. He says, isn't this what we daven for in Aleinu? B'chol b'nei basar, I'm going through it in my head, Yukvashumecha, all the men of flesh will call in your name, Kilecha tichwa kol berach, all knees will bow down to you. So I said, your point is heard and your point is taken. It's a very interesting point. Coincidentally, but it's nothing as a coincidence, so I'm putting that in quotes. Rav Shai Shachter emailed me 2 days ago a shir that he gave on this inyan of the capital city is Jerusalem, and he wrote, I thought you'd be interested, 15 minutes. So, he's my boss, so if he sends me a shir, I better listen to the shir. So I listened to the 15-minute shir. So I emailed him back, and I said, I assume you send this because of my kasa shari. So he said, no, I didn't know anything about your kasa shari. I thought you would find this interesting. So one thing that he wrote is, because one of the things he said in the shir is that we should change how we feel. Are we going to... If you want, you could listen to Gol Naim Ayutori. It brings three different women in Tanakh. You heard it? Three different reactions that they had, and that we have to change ourselves. So I said back, shouldn't we already change our relationship to Yerushalayim? Shouldn't we already be awake to her pain and her fate and her destiny? Should this wake us up? That's what I wrote back. I'm not quoting my whole thing. So, according to Rav Shai Shechter, quote, one cannot ignore this is a whisper from Hashem. This is a historic and monumental opportunity for the Jewish community. Everyone needs to do their own cheshbon nefesh, their own accounting of the soul, and make sure not to allow the Ribon Shalom's message to fly right by them and go unnoticed. That's what I was trying to suggest. But so after this person from Jerusalem emailed me, and coincidentally, and I'm putting that in big quotes, Rav Shai Shechter emailed me, so I thought, what's going on here, right? Talking about Hashem sending you messages. So I thought to myself, what would my grandfather say? That's how it came to the piece in about Dover. I thought, what would my grandfather say? My grandfather lost his daughter, Devorah, who was an infant in the Holocaust. She was named Parshas B'Shalach after the prophetess Devorah, after the Haftorah of that Shabbos. And my grandfather writes, I still remember several names of those killed. Rabbi Yoshua Asher Weinberg, his daughter lives in Israel today. Rav Peretz Feder, his son lives in Israel. He and I, Rav Peretz Feder, slept on one pallet. We talk continually about the murderers. They were sent by God. Their end is near. Quote, we suffer now, so Mashiach will come. Whoever will survive this hell, my grandfather wrote, will see a Jewish state. I remember my uncle, Moishi Markovitz, a boy of 13 years old. He was handsome as a tree bloom. He was amongst those who were shot. May God avenge his blood. In the beginning of his piece, he writes, a certain Sunday, the day before Pesach, 1942, the great catastrophe began. I remember as if it just happened. All that I have set down here in writing, I saw with my own eyes. At noon, shooting broke out in the streets. A sign was displayed. All Jews, men, women, and children, must be in the marketplace by 2 o'clock. Whoever will be found in the houses will be shot. I hid several Jews, including my father, in our house. Risking my life, I lay on the floor. I saw the entire hell that occurred to half the Jewish residents of the city. Jews were running from every street. The villainous Germans photographed this horrendous picture. And our neighbors of 1,000 years, who they thought were their friends, the anti-Semitic Poles stood in the street delighting in our overwhelming misfortune. 4 hours later, I saw a picture forever present in my memory, a lineup of 2,000 Jews, men, women, and children. I remember one young man, a student in the Lublin yeshiva. He stood beside a different boy, Yaakov Mendelis, and cradled his newborn in his child. The child was crying. It began to rain. The cries of the child were heartrending. No one was there to help. I saw a boy familiar to me, Maishi, who was crippled from birth. The renowned Dr. Salvechik from Warsaw healed him. In the chaos, a hateful SS man aimed his rifle because Maishi, this crippled boy, was not able to follow the column quickly enough. One of the murderers came out of the house of Reperet Shoichet. They went by their profession. Reperet Goldberg was Reperet Shoichet. He asked the superior, what should he do with someone who's just lying in bed and can't get out to come to the market? Make him well, was the answer. I heard a shot. The next day I saw him in bed. He had been shot in the throat. It continues. This is just a short excerpt. And he specifically writes, whoever survives this hell will see Mashiach. We suffer now, so Mashiach will come. We suffer now, so we will live to see a Jewish day. And I remember that my mother told me that during the Six-Day War, he didn't shut the radio for all 6 days. It just stayed on for those 6 days. So I was thinking after this fellow from Jerusalem emailed me, and after Shai Shechter again coincidentally sent me the link to Shiar, I thought you would find this interesting, 15 minutes, and I listened to it. So I thought, am I really amending my perspective? No. The covenant of Yerushalayim comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I am not amending that statement. That is absolutely the source of the honor of Yerushalayim. And it is only the Ribbono Shel Olam who in the end of days will restore the covenant to Yerushalayim. The covenant at Yabesocha, says the Baal Shem. God will be the honor of Jerusalem. And we're talking about in the end of days, like my grandfather said, when Mashiach comes. But I was thinking to myself, what would my grandfather have felt like? What would it have been like, not only for my grandfather, for so many of our ancestors? To have had somebody in that day and age who would stand up and face the whole world and say, you know what? The Jews have a country. Not only do they have a country, they have a city. Not only do they have a city, they have a capital. What would have been if there was someone brave enough to go against all the madmen of the entire raging world and say there's a different way here? So I really thought of that. I thought about what my grandfather said. I appreciate the person from Jerusalem, who I assume, I hope will be listening to this, who said to me, Aleinu. I also thought to myself, what would my attitude have been if it would have been different? What if Trump, the leader of the free world, yes, not everyone respects him, not everybody sees him as the most stable ruler, but nevertheless, he's the president of the United States of America. What if he would have stood up and said, Jerusalem is not the Jews? How would I have felt then? I could rest assured, I could tell you what I would have felt then. I would have felt a tremendous source of indignation. How could that be? What a bizayon. We spoke about bizayon last week. So he stands up and he says the opposite. You brought up Joanna Achashverosh. Achashverosh says to Esther Malka, Masha Ela Seich Uma Bakasha Seich, Archatzi Hamalchus Vateas, what is your request? What is your plea? I will give you half the kingdom. And she says, Kinim Karnu Aniva Ami Lahashmi Laharugul Abed, we have been sold out, we have been bought out to be utterly destroyed. Ve'ilul Avadimul Shvachus Nim Karnu Hacharashti, if we would have been sold to be slaves and maidservants, I would be quiet. Ke'ein Hatzar Shova Benoza Kamelch, it's not worth it for the king. What are you going to gain from killing us all? Imagine when there's someone brave enough to stand up and say, it's a different way. The Jews who have been persecuted and hounded. Did you see, I saw, if anyone's interested, you could WhatsApp me and I'll send it to you. Tehei Zechro Baruch, Shuso Yagein Aleinu, should be our Melitz Yashar from his place in the Yeshiva Shal Mala, which is very, very, very close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Undoubtedly, I saw a woman, you sent it to me. A 1 minute clip of Rav Steinman Zecher Tzadik Vrach. If anyone wants it, email me or Susan and we'll forward it to you. And where he says, all the problems, every tzara, all the nisyonos that we all face stem from Churban Beis HaMikdash. Every problem that every Jew has, says Rav Steinman, is because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Imagine if we would have someone brave enough to stand up and say, in all these 2,000 years of Churban, you know, there's a different way, and these people who have always been downtrodden actually do have some rights. So the thing about my grandfather, first the fellow from Jerusalem, coupled with what Rav Shai Shechter emailed me, coincidentally, and I'm putting that in big quotation marks because nothing's a coincidence, and thinking about my grandfather helped me have a different perspective. So I'm just going to quote one passage from Rav Soloveitchik. This is definitely not going to be the whole shiur. One passage from the Rav, and then we're going to go into the Sefer this evening. Okay? And next week's parsha, not in this week's parsha, but in next week's parsha, Yosef HaTzadik, and such dramatic stories of Yosef. Does anyone have questions or comments? No? Okay. the dramatic story of Yosef HaTzadik. Just turning to the beginning of Vayigash, which is not this coming parsha, the next parsha. The story of Yosef is always read during the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And Yehuda says, you asked us, Hayesh lachem av or ach, do you have a father or a brother? When the brothers come to me, Yosef, in this week's parsha, Yosef asked, do you have a father or a brother? And we said, Yesh lanu av zakin, we have an old father, v'yalid zakunim katan, Benyamin, they didn't name him, but he is a son of his old age. Okay. Rav Salvechik says, by sheer association, I recall an experience of my early youth. I was 7 or 8 years old. I attended Cheder in Kaslavish. He talks so much about his upbringing in Kaslavish, a small town on the border of White Russia and Russia proper. My father was the rabbi of the town, and he speaks about his malamid. You may have heard me speak about it before. His malamid was a Chabad Rebbe, a follower of the Lubavitch Rebbe. He was not a great scholar, but I have been grateful to him all my life. He taught me something no one else, with the exception of my mother, taught me. He did not train my mind, but he addressed himself to my soul and to my heart, which, by the way, relates very much to our learning, because the Mechaber is always talking about our mind is already trained. But what needs to be trained? Well, not that we don't have to develop our mind, but it's not that we have to know about God in here, but the author of our book keeps telling us we have to know about God where? In our soul and in our heart. Many people practice Judaism, but do so in an unimaginative fashion. They lack depth. He showed me, this Chabad Malamed, how to behold a vision, how to make it come to life. He taught me how to dream, how to experience Judaism, not just practice it. So he's about to relate a story when he's a little boy in Cheder. The episode, because when I thought of my grandfather, I thought of the story because it's about, do you have a father? The episode I'm about to relate took place on a murky winter day in January. I remember the day. It was cloudy. It was overcast. It was after Chanukah. The Torah portion of the week was Vayigash. With the end of Chanukah, the little serenity, it also relates to Chanukah, which the festival brought into the monotonous and listless lives of these poor Jews. Passover Chanukah brought them a spark of life to their hard lives. Most of them were poor peddlers. The boys were, as far as the boys from Cheder were concerned, a long and desolate winter lay ahead. It was a period when we had to get up when it was dark and return home with our lanterns in our hands because nightfall was so early. On that particular day, the boys were depressed, listless, lazy, sad. We chanted mechanically the first sentences of Parshas Vayigash. Then Yehuda approached and said, my Lord asked his servant, saying, do you have a father or a brother? We have an Av Zakein and a Yalid Zakunim, an old father and a young child. Then something strange happened. The Malamid, the teacher, who was half asleep while the boy was droning on the words in Yiddish and Hebrew, jumped to his feet, a strange gleam in his eyes. He leaped up like a lion. He usually had blue velvety eyes, but his eyes were piercing, searching, investigating. He motioned the reader to stop. He looked at me, Pod Rabin, not an English word, Pod Rabin. He called me the assistant to the rabbi whenever he was excited. He was the town rabbi's son. And he said to me, what kind of question did Yosef ask his brothers? Do you have a father? Of course they have a father. The only person who has no father was the first man, Adam. Whoever is born has a father. What is this? So I tried to answer. Yosef meant to find out whether the father was still alive. In that case, thundered the Malamed, he should have phrased the question differently. Is your father still alive? To argue with the Malamed was useless. As he began to speak, it was as if he was speaking to a mysterious visitor, a guest who had come into Cheder. Joseph did not intend to ask his brothers about Avot di Itaglin. This was a Chabad term for parenthood, which is open and visible. Avot di Itaglin, revealed parenthood. He was asking them about the mysterious, the invisible, the hidden parenthood. Yosef, said the Malamed, was anxious to know whether they felt themselves committed to their roots, committed to their origins. Are you, Yosef asked his brothers, rooted in your father? They weren't asking, do you have a father? They were, because why not? He wasn't asking, do you have a father? Because everyone has a father. Are you rooted in your father? Do you look upon him the way the branches or the blossoms look upon the tree? Do you look upon your father as the foundation of your existence? Do you see your father as a provider and a sustainer? Or are you rootless shepherds who forget their makor, their source, their origin? Suddenly he said, are you modest and humble? Do you admit the old father represents an old tradition? Do you believe the Father is capable of telling you something, something new, something exciting, something challenging, something you did not know before? Or are you insolent, arrogant, and vain? Do you have a father? And he pointed to the study mate, Yitzhak, who is considered the town prodigy. And what do you have to say? Who knows more, you or your father, the blacksmith, who can hardly read Hebrew? Are you proud, Yitzhak, of your father? Do you feel humble in his presence? Do you have a father? And then he ended in a whisper. If the Jew admits to the supremacy of his father, then he admits to the supremacy of the universal father. Atik Yomi, this is an experience I had with my Malamed. I have never forgotten him. The answer the sons of Yaakov gave to Yosef must hold true even today. We must be committed to our old father. Yesh lanu av zakein, v'ben zikunim, katan. We have to be committed to our old father. We have to be committed to a mysterious past and eternal ideals. Only this can account for our mourning a temple consumed by fire 2,000 years ago. Only this, our av zakein, our commitment to our father, can account for our deep attachment to the land of Israel. We are committed not only to a great past, the Av Zakein, but to a glorious future, the Yaled Zakunim. The child is the ambassador of the future. We behold a great vision of tomorrow. We are past-minded, that's the Av Zakein, and we are future-oriented. That is the Yaled Zakunim. And we have to arrange a rendezvous between the father and the child. That's the Masorah, the tradition, the transmission, the merging of the past and the future. So those are my thoughts of this evening. Does anyone have questions or comments? No? Nothing? Okay, let's open up the book, please. No, I wanted to tell you two more things. You can't even write a book big enough to encapsulate the life of Rav Steinman or Gedolim like him, but I want to read you one thing. This is reported on Hidabrua. He was, when he was Nifter, 104 years old, he mused about the value of longevity. Longevity? Listen to this. And this relates so much to our learning, because we're really trying to be with Hashem, to remember Hashem, to live with Hashem. He's with us all the time, to account for our time. On the one hand, says Rav Steinman Zatzal, there is value to longevity. You can do more mitzvos. On the other hand, you will need to account in the heavenly tribunal for every single second. And I think to myself, what is preferable? A man who lives to an old age and needs to account for every second, not minute, second, or a man who doesn't and therefore by extension has less of an accounting to give? Shall I repeat it? On the one hand, there's value to longevity. You can do many mitzvos. On the other hand, you will need to account in the heavenly tribunal for every single second, if you have long life. I always think to myself, what's preferable? A man who lives to an old age and needs to account for every second, or a man who doesn't and by extension has less of an accounting to give. I saw last night, it was on Matzav, on one of the write-ups, that for 60 years, he ate a double portion of gefilte fish. And he always commented to his wife how delicious the fish was, and he would ask for seconds. And then, after she was niftaris, he stopped eating gefilte fish. So they said, why are you not eating gefilte fish anymore? You always took double. So he says, I'll tell you the truth. I don't really like gefilte fish. But my wife, you saw it also? That's why you're smiling?
No, my son was telling me that he's lost without her.
This is different. Okay. He said, tell you the truth, I don't really like gefilte fish. Well, my Rebbetzin worked so hard to prepare it every week that I wanted to make her feel good. So I took a portion and an extra portion. One more thing related back to thinking about my grandfather, and then we are going to go into the Sefer. And I really did think, what would my grandfather have said? And that really helped me understand a different perspective. Again, I'm not taking back that the kavod of Yerushalayim comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. That is undoubtedly correct. The barber of Auschwitz just died. Benjamin Scheinkopf, he was known as Ben the Barber. Why did he do? He and his brother Joseph survived Auschwitz-Birkenau because they were giving haircuts to the inmates. His weight dropped to 65 pounds during that time. In later years, when his children were fussy about food, he would tell them, this was in the news this afternoon, we were starving. We would eat bark off the tree. He came from a town in a Polish city of Płońsk, which had 5,000 Jews. A few dozen survived the Holocaust. I thought, imagine if there was someone that day and age to say, Jews have rights and they have a place and they have a city and they have a home. Okay. Turn to page 84. Unless you want to say, have you got a smile? You want to say something? Go ahead.
No, I didn't.
What?
No, it's funny because the next day after a whole talk, I come to work and a very nice, Jewish, Russian woman says to me, "Mazel tov." And I'm thinking, what? What's the mazel tov?
Right. And that's why there's both sides.
I know, but by the way, but she understood full well that it really. She just said, but in the same breath, I'm just saying, and she grew up in Russia, she's not religious, but on the same breath, she understood that, that the final redemption is from Hashem.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was just very interesting.
That's very interesting.
I was like so caught off base by her mazata, but then she, but as we were talking, she said it just, with Pamole. I thought that was so
That's
nice
interesting.
For somebody that doesn't have a background, that gets it.
Okay, they're both perspectives. Okay, anything else? Okay, page 84. One second, please. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehei Abba.
Amen.
Okay, so the last thing we spoke about, the bottom of page 83, is that Talmud Chacham is sitting in his living room. He's learning. Someone comes from behind, places his hand on his shoulder. He feels it briefly, and he says, "I didn't hear you come in." He didn't hear. He only felt it when the person touched him. And we quote Rav Soloveitchik at this point, where Rav Soloveitchik says that when he learns Torah, he feels that there is someone with a capital S standing, peering over his shoulder, looking into the Gemara with him, nodding yes, so to speak. The Ribono Shel Olam is with him in such a real sense when he learns. So what can we derive from this example? It was possible for someone to enter and walk around the room and even make noise. And yet, the Talmud Chacham didn't hear a thing. How is this possible? His mind was engrossed in something else. His sense of hearing was not on alert. Similarly, we are not alert to the fact of Hashem's presence. And I was just somewhere where I told the story of being plugged in with the washing machine. I don't remember. But I was just somewhere where I told the story of being plugged in with the washing machine. Just because the washing machine is present in the room, it's not going to work if you don't plug it into the wall. And so too, of course, Ribono Shel Olam is there all the time. But if I'm not aware, where's my mind? Where's my mind? Is my mind is with Hashem? Where's my heart? And where's my soul? Am I so engrossed in something else that I'm not even attuned to the fact that Ribono Shel Olam is right with me? Similarly, we are not alert to the fact of Hashem's presence. And again, like Rav Soloveitchik said, the Chabad Malame taught him. He didn't stimulate his mind, but he awoke, he wakened, his soul and his heart. One may ponder these examples and say, Hashem, I cannot with my bodily senses perceive your presence. I believe and wish to believe even more and to feel you are right near me. And you have to say it. I've been trying to say it, by the way, as we're learning the past weeks. I'm trying to say I'm in different random places and I'll say to myself, where's Hashem? I'm not talking out loud yet. Me and Shani discuss, are you at the point where you're talking out loud and then people look at you and they think, wow, you're a little crazy. What are you doing? I heard Charlie.
Just think you have a Bluetooth.
In today's day and
age.
That's true. I heard Charlie Harari in Los Angeles, so he was making everyone in the audience laugh. He says, you're in public, you come out of the bathroom, you're whispering, and everyone, I can't tell it as good as he says, but everyone's saying, what are you whispering? Nothing. I wasn't whispering anything. They're like, no, you were saying something. He's like, no, I wasn't whispering. They're like, what were you saying? He's like, fine. I was making a blessing. Because I went to the bathroom. So sometimes, and I was laughing because sometimes that's me. I feel like when I am in public, and Asher Yetzer does not take 1 second if you actually say all the words, and you're standing there thinking, okay, they're looking at me. What are you doing? But I like that. You could just be on your phone.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to know that Hashem is right there where you are. And we've been speaking with this. Oh, so my point is that I've been trying to do that. I'm reminding myself, where is Hashem? Right here. This is an example of striving for the state of, this is how we ended last week, because we ended with Miriam Peretz. Gam ki elech begeit samaves lo ira ra ki ato imadi. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil because you're with me. You know, it's so interesting, since I have these memoirs here. My grandfather wrote these in Yiddish. My mother had it translated, professionally translated, 7 pages. It's called In 7 Camps in 3 Years. My mother had it translated a few years ago. And he writes, 1 second, because we're talking about where is Hashem. Hashem is everywhere. I shall feel no evil. Miriam Peretz says, what do you mean evil when I walk in the shadow of the valley of death? I'm already in the shadow of the valley of death. And she speaks about her experience on her Herzl, which is how we ended. Did you order the book? Which is how she describes her experience. So if there's ever been a valley in the shadow of death, it was the Gehenim that these Kadoshim lived or died through. And he writes, the first Passover in Budzin, it was a labor camp, slave labor camp, we arranged a kitchen which cooked holiday soup. Whoever wished to do so did not have to eat chametz during Pesach. Yom Kippur, we came back from a hard day's work. We quickly went into the barracks so Ne'ilah could be davened with a minion. And the past 2 years, I thought of this very much during Ne'ilah, when I thought I have to sit down, I can't stand up, I don't feel I can stand the whole thing, when they're on kosher, and I thought, they came back from Avodas Parach, from the back-breaking labor, from Kol Ben Ayilad Ayyarat HaShlichuhu, from tortures that just because I went to visit Auschwitz after my year of Echala, I went as a visitor, that things that we can't fathom. Manomar, Manadaber. Yom Kippur, when we came back from a hard day's work, we went into the barracks so then the Ila could be davened with a minion. Yeah, for us, heavens was closed. However, all of us together pleaded vigorously for help. Gam ki eich begeit samaves lo I rara ki ata imadi. Even when I walk in the shadow of in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. One should take this truth and repeat it with simple phrases, time and again. Use one example after another. Hashem, I don't feel it. I know you're here. Just then, know there are bacteria in the room. I can't see or feel them. That's such a relevant example. I mean, but it's proof in the physical world. Like if you had a microscope, you would be able to see things that you can't see with the naked eye. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It means I can't see it. That's why before the days they knew about germs, people would die. There was no hygiene. They didn't know you had to clean your hands. It makes perfect sense. Why? Because they couldn't see anything on them. So why do you have to wash your hands between patients? So everybody was dying. Why were they dying? Because there is such a thing that things exist that you cannot see them, that you cannot perceive them. Master of the world, I want to feel that you are near me. You have to daven to feel Hashem. You have to daven to Hashem to allow him into your life. That's the first request. Forget all the things that we need that we daven for. First thing I need to daven for is what? Let me feel that you're with me. Let me feel you, Hashem. Are you near me? I can't see you. I can't feel you. But you must be right here. When waiting at a bus stop, think to yourself, if no one else is there, I love this paragraph in light of what we just said. If no one else is there, you could speak quietly. Shani, you see, we discussed it. You're talking out loud or you're not talking out loud. If no one else is there, you could speak quietly. Master of the world, am I alone or are you with me? And that's really what the Rav says he experienced with his Cheder Melamed. Do you have a father? Are you rootless? Do you think you're the first tree that ever came? Or are you rooted in the past? Do we connect the Avzakein, which is the Mesorah of the past, the heritage, Mesorah, the transmission, the heritage, yeah? Is that a good explanation? Okay. With the future, which is the Yalad Zukunim, is there a transmission? Or do you feel you're just rootless? There's no one connecting you. You're just by yourself. You're never by yourself. Am I alone? Of course I'm not alone. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. There's generations before me. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. There's generations who come after me. Does someone see what I am doing now or not? Master of the world, I'm not alone. You are with me. You see what I do. So sometimes I try and think to myself, Hashem is right here. And I think, what's he doing? Right? He's taking an accounting of everything I'm doing right now. What did Simon say? He didn't say you have to give an accounting if you live a long life for every minute. He said you have to give an accounting for every second. The Chavetz Chaim, in the town of Radin, a bachur was sick, a yeshiva boy was sick, and they asked Chavetz Chaim to donate some time of Torah learning as a schus for our refuah, for our healing for this boy. So he donated an hour seder, a half an hour seder, 50 minutes. The Chavetz Chaim said, sure, he will donate 1 minute of his Torah learning for that boy's refuah shleima. So there's two ways to look at the story. Number one, chalila v'chas, this isn't the real way. Is he so cheap? That's all he could give. Number two, the Chavetz Chaim understood that in 1 minute of Torah learning, there is so much power that it could bring refuah shleima to a sick person. Such is the value of 1 minute of time. I don't know if anybody saw, but it's very nice. I don't know if it's relevant to you or it's not relevant to you, but the Young Israel of Wurma actually sent out, is anyone on the Young Israel of Wurma email list? Did you see it? Okay. So they sent out, join us in this initiative. And then my daughter actually also brought it home from school. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem Shabbos, we're doing it. That after you light Chanukah Lecht, screen free for 30 minutes.
Oh.
Screen free for 30 minutes. So we're all doing it. It's cute because my husband wasn't home tonight. So I lived with the kids earlier so we could go to the Shul Chanukah party. I took the kids before Shira. So my husband had texted me, is everything okay? How's the day? And then I didn't reply. So like 20 minutes later, he's like, hello. And then like 10 minutes later, there was a question mark. So when I finally got to my phone, which was about 45 minutes after Chanukah, I'm like, sorry, there's no screens for half an hour. He's like, oh, right, because last night was the first night we did. It's just about not being connected to the shtus of this world. It's trying to be connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when my daughter brought home, she showed it to me. I said, I just sent an email to you, Ab and Ari, saying we should do this. So she said, I don't even check my emails. That was very, very beautiful. It's just trying to internalize, working so hard that you're not alone and you don't need this to be connected. And wherever you are, that's who the Ribbono Shel Olam is. And maybe that's part of the message of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, that there was such a whole hullabaloo, and that there was such tuma, and there was such schmutz, and there was such upheaval, and there was so much confusion, and so many, the Hellenists, so many had assimilated in the pagan, Greek, hedonic, pleasure-seeking way of idolatry had taken over the land. And we were so disconnected from Hashem. We were so disconnected. What was the goddess of Yavan? As I was, my daughter taught me something beautiful, which I never knew before. Noi is beauty. That I knew. Nun, Vav, Yud is beauty. Yavan backwards is Noi. Yavan, if you read it backwards, it's Nun, Vav, Yud. It's Yud, Vav, Nun. It's Noi. So what could we say from there? I thought it was very nice. I never knew that before. That true beauty in service of Hashem. Asher Weiss teaches when Yitzchak Dav in the beginning of Parshas Toldos for his wife to have a baby, it says he daven lenochach ishto ki akarahi. Vayatar Yitzchak l'Hashem lenochach ishto ki akari. Isaac daven to God opposite his wife for she was barren. Lenochach ishto is made up of nun chav ches nochach noi koach chachma. That's what he was davening for. It was brought down by Asher Weiss Shlita. He was davening for, sorry, noi, beauty, koach, strength, but chachma. Strength and beauty are nothing if he does not have wisdom to serve God. So why does Rivka, when she's pregnant, she says, im kein lamaza anochi. What, really? You just davened for 20 years. Now you're pregnant and you're saying, well, maybe this isn't such a good idea. What were you davening for? So he explains, she said, im kein. If I only have koach and noi, Rav Asher Weiss, if I only have koach, strength, and noi, beauty, without the kachachma, lama zeh nochi. She was confused because the child is kicking. She doesn't know what's going on by the house of Avodah Zarah. So she thinks, I'm having an idol worshiper. I'm only having noi and koach. I'm only having beauty and strength, not in there. Im kain. If it's only koach and noi, strength, lama zeh nochi. Is this what I daven for? I daven for chachma. So that's how Rav Asher Weiss explains Rivka's confusion, which is very, very beautiful. So my daughter said, so what is it? Noi can be channeled into Avodah Hashem. Beauty can be channeled into Avodah Hashem. Why is noi backwards yavin? Because they had it all wrong. They had it backwards. They only focused on the beauty with forgetting that you also need strength, which they had, but you also need chachma, you also need wisdom. We were so confused. It was such a time where we were so detached from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the whole purpose of life is to reattach ourselves, to go back to that source. I'm not a rootless tree. I am a tree who's grounded in the past, who's grounded in Mesorah. There is a future. And everything comes from Hashem. My grandfather says, is there any questions or comments tonight? Okay, I'll keep talking, but I'm just asking. Okay, sometimes yes, sometimes no. As soon as the Germans arrived in Krasnik, the subjugation and pain of the Jewish population began. You know, it's also relevant to read this always, Zachar Sashar Salach HaMalik. obviously for me personally, I didn't really know my grandfather. He was nifter when I was 3 years old. My mother says he was so happy to finally have grandchildren, and then he didn't even get to enjoy them. But it's also the enemy of Yavan. They wanted to destroy us spiritually. They wanted to destroy us physically. They all have the same goal. What's the goal? To detach us from God and to destroy Knesset Yisrael. It's the same goal. It's the same thing our enemies want to do to us today. Whether they come in the form of spiritual attack or whether they come in the form of physical attack, they're all trying to do the same thing. The Yavanim way, the Syrian Greek way, was to make us totally forget God, and then we will be spiritually detached. That's it. Oh, Rav Shai Shechter related a beautiful var. He told it over in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The enemy of Paro, called a ben hayilad hayar tashlichuhu v'chalabas techayu, and every male into the river and every daughter you should let live. Paro represents both enemies. He who wants to destroy us physically and spiritually. How? Because most people think that Paro was saying, kill the boys and let the girl live. The Lubavitcher Rebbe explains as follows. Called ben hayilad hayar tashlichuhu, physically kill them. Chalabas techayu, we will take the women and assimilate with them. And marry them and have children with them. So it's such godless. We tend to think that power was which type of enemy? He who wants to kill us? Physically. He actually wanted to do both, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Call Ben Eilad Yatashlichu, physically annihilate us. And then call Abbas Techayun, that's the Greek enemy. Every female we will use for our purposes. As soon as the Germans arrived in Krasnik, the subjugation and pain began. Already a few weeks after they took over the city, no one could daven in a shul. If you wanted to pray with a minyan, you had to gather in a private residence and daven. On a certain Shabbos, when I went to lead the service of Rav Peretz Goldberg, may God avenge his blood, a German accosted me. He dragged me to the marketplace. I was dressed in my silk Shabbos kapata with my talis. I had a chumash under my arm. I realized I should have changed my clothing. We were driven from the train station to unload coal from boxcars. I was so naive. And I thought then, what are the Germans thinking? It's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. We have to say halal. Where is he taking us? This was the first time I experienced working for the Germans. I have to go say halal. We're saying halal every morning now. And the next year, they established the holiday, the Hodos, the Halal. So we have to think, what are we connected to in life? Am I connected to this? Rachman al-Litzan, most of the day, I am connected to this. Is that what I'm connected to? It's a nice idea if anybody's interested. Oh, but Tamar interestingly told me, the teacher asked them about it today. She asked them how it's going. It's interesting, their program is called I Choose. I Choose. That's not in control of me. I Choose. And she said that many of the girls said that the whole family was doing it. So I said, oh, did you tell them we're also doing it? So it's something if anybody's, there's still six more nights. If anyone's interested, it's something that hopefully will be purposeful for us all. I'm not alone. Hashem, you're with me. You see what I do? Throughout the day, you have to remind yourself of the presence of the Creator at regular intervals. So I'm so aware of this now. So sometimes I think to myself, you know, a certain amount of time passes and I think to myself, did I think of Hashem? So it just happened yesterday. I was in the Gourmet Glot lot. It was packed. I couldn't get a spot. I'm like, Hashem, please let me get a spot. So I thought to myself, is this the first time I thought of Hashem? Now, because I need a parking spot, I'm saying, help me get a spot? What about the hour before this? Speak to him. One thing I know, I feel it just a little. You're nearby. I don't fully feel it, but I'm not alone. And you need to daven to feel it more and more. Accustomed. I'm talking to myself. I need to daven. Ribbono Shel Olam, we're going to finish this now. Everyone, we're not leaving. Here we go. Top of page 85. See, it's a Shachianu. Master of the world, I'm not alone. You're nodding yes. You are with me. I bet you didn't think I was going to finish today. Uh-huh. It's a Chanukah miracle. Understandably, all this advice assumes there is already the basis of an hour in the day in which you take this idea about. Okay, so that's if you're doing your hispodus for an hour. Okay, but you know what? I have to be practical in my Vodas Hashem. I would like to try to have an hour, but in my life, daily, right now, I don't have an hour. So you need to work on it in the time frame that you have. You can turn to the matter time after time, repeat the very same words. You know these ideas are essential for life. You're holding on. Someone throws you a life preserver and you're drowning and they throw you a life preserver. You're not going to hold on with all your life. You're never going to let go. It's essential. You don't yet feel it, but you intellectually know this is a vital matter. May Hashem help us. The way in which you want to go. We're told that by Bilam HaRasha, by the way. Why? Because if you want to go the way of Bilam HaRasha, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have opportunities to be like Wicked Bilam. And if you want to be a different way, then you know what's going to happen? Hashem will give you the opportunities to be a different way. May Hashem help each of us to seek Him. So you understand that's the first thing you have to do. You have to want to find God. And gradually, by seeking sincerely, may we merit feeling His proximity and cleaving to Him all the days of our lives. I saw a video where Steinman was saying, there's only Torah, there's only Torah, there's only Torah in our life, and nothing else. Oh, Tehi Zichor Baruch. Okay, any questions or comments? So I wish you all a lichtige Chanukah, ladies, a good Shabbos, and a Chodesh Tov. Thank you so much. Thank you.